This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Annie Heilbrun from Annie and Elston. Thanks for downloading and listening to Annie and Elston. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. We're also live weekdays on YouTube. And of course, you can always listen live weekdays from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, are y'all ready? It's that time. It's time to announce today's biggest fan. Congratulations to Sonia Palacios from Lakeside. Sonia Palacios from Lakeside, give us a call back in the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, and you'll qualify for our grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game later this season. Remember, you can register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan, but Sonia Palacios, now is your time. Be the first this week to call in as an Annie and Elston biggest fan. It's a tiny little pain, one that we forget immediately at 1:54:15.
Yes.
But
Sonia.
Tiny little pain.
What's her last name?
Palacios.
Sonia Palacios.
Lakeside's finest. Come
call
on
in.
Give us a ring. 833-288-0973. Because we came out late, 1:13 is how long you have to call the show. And we look forward to doing so. Beatriz, I would stop telling people that they can still register, except it's in the read. And like Ron Burgundy, if they put it in front of me,
I have to read it.
I have to read it. So that's that. Here's what's going on at Padres spring training. The Padres are taking on the Rocks at Peoria Sports Complex. And in a very similar situation to yesterday's game, nobody is scoring. So on one side, let's talk about the positive of that. Michael King, Annie, three just humming, smooth innings. I don't know what the ceiling is for Michael King. I truly don't. By the end of last year, he was a top six, top seven starter in baseball.
Yeah, there was a story in the UT. I think I missed it. It must have been a few days ago, or I don't know if it was today or what, but a feature on Michael King. And when you look at the stats, what he ended the year as and like his last, 10, 15 starts or whatever the numbers were, I mean, it rivaled the best in the league in terms of his ERA and what he was able to do as a pitcher. He got to 173 innings, somewhere around there. His goal was 180. He's already put his new goal, I think, at 200 innings. But, obviously you have to go out and do it again. And that is one quote that he said. He said, the best in the league, you have to do it year after year after year. And he's like, I've done it 1 year. I've done it 1 year. Now I got to go do it again. So he gets what's ahead of him, but I mean, you couldn't ask for more than what he did last year. And especially since he changed. I mean, he was so homer heavy. He was giving up that homer after that homer at the beginning of the season. And then he shifted. He figured out how to work through the lineup multiple times, how to pace himself with his pitch mix. Didn't have to go so aggressive right off the bat, coming like a reliever would. And he really adjusted to that starting rotation. He did a great job.
The only thing I even think about this year about Michael King is health. That's the only thing. Is like,
how's his arm going to hold
right,
up?
Right. Yeah. Because you jumped from 80-something innings to almost 180 innings. Yep. So do you have a nut? He wants 200 innings this year.
Yeah.
Do you have it? Do you have it in you? Here's the thing. He's such a big dude, and he's got excellent mechanics, and it just... He doesn't seem like the ultimate effort pitcher. You know what I mean? It doesn't. Now, you never know. The ligament tells the story. Yeah. At the end of the day, the ligament will tell the story. But he just feels like a guy. He feels like a guy you want to invest in. He feels like a guy that you want to try and get to stick around. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if he has a big year this year, he's going to go right to the top of the free agent board next year.
I mean, him and Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right there at the top.
I mean, it would be an honest question, wouldn't it? For whatever team wants to open up the money books, which guy would you... let's just say that they both kind of put almost the exact same season out there that they did last year. You could make a real solid argument that you'd want King over Cease.
Yeah, and you know, I guess it's right. It's kind of how teams will look at it. It depends on what kind of season they have this year, but I think he'll get a good deal. I mean, if he has a decent year or a year close to what he had last year, I think you're going to look at some teams really being interested in him and what his potential could be.
Yeah. If there's a world where the Padres can sign a player to an extension, the one that makes the absolute most sense should be obvious to everyone, Jackson Merrill. He's the youngest. It would cost the least. He might be the most important player on the franchise before, you know, a couple of years from now, for all we know. But King, man.
You have money coming off the books next year. If you're able to hit on some of these younger guys that maybe make the minimum, I mean, maybe you are able to, you know, use two or three or four minor leaguers that are making a jump to the big leagues. Maybe you can, you know, kind of make some creative deal that would work out for the team. I think it's more possible with Michael King for the Padres than I do with Dylan Cease.
Yeah. Undoubtedly. Yeah. No knock on Cease, by the way.
Yeah.
Just, he's got Boris as his client.
Yeah.
Right? You know, as his
agent. And he's done it longer. And
Yeah. All the strikeouts he's racked up.
Yeah.
He's going to get a burn steal.
Mm-hmm.
He will get a Corbin burn steal.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Michael King could too. He could get a Max Fried deal. Like, he very easily could. Or you could try and approach him during spring training.
Mm-hmm.
You could try and get it locked in before he has that next season. There would be advantages to Michael King. He would be betting, in a way, hedging the bet on himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And if he's open to talking about stuff during the season, I mean, Joe Musgrove got his done midsummer.
That's true.
Of a really good year, you know, and just wanted to stay in San Diego and wanted to get it done. And, you know, but it depends, right? It depends on how open he is, his agent, what the money situation is for the Padres, all that good stuff.
Meanwhile, in Peoria, as mentioned, King, great. Offense, not there right now. Padres had a nice little rally going in the first inning. Xander Bogaerts grounded into a double play. Killed that one dead.
Am I seeing this correctly? Is one hit so far? Just Tatis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a hit and a walk and then a double play. And then known Padre killer Anthony Senzatella was in the game for the Rockies. And I swear to God, this guy only pitches against San Diego. Like, just, you never hear about Anthony Senzatella. And then there's that random May. It's like, well, we're at Coors Field, and there's Anthony Senzatella for six innings, one run.
And there's Bud Black with that look on his face. That's right.
That's baseball.
That smug look, right.
Always bet on
there's
Black.
There's Anthony, right.
Always bet on Black. Tirso Ornelas just reached on a walk. Tirso Ornelas is playing his way into the starting DH job, potentially. And I heard Benin Woods talk about left field. Like, could he play left instead of Hayward? It's not impossible that could be. If Jason Hayward just never gets a hit the entire spring, you and I have both agreed we're not going to be precious with $1 million players.
Mm-hmm.
Would you just let the better defender, but a guy who maybe has no chance to hit, would you let him go and just give Tirso the reins, just give him left field?
Potentially. I mean, he is a guy that, like, if you're high on and you see the potential in him, and I think they do, you know, and you want him to start getting that big league experience, hopefully somewhat soon. I mean, he is one that has two options left. So you can put him back in the minors, bring him back up, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I think, you know, you want to get your bats in the lineup. If you've got a guy that's hitting, you want to try to figure it out, even if it means being creative with your positioning sometimes.
Now, if you missed it And the story came out starting at 8 o'clock. Robert Murray was the first to put it out there on Twitter, which is that the Padres have agreed to a deal with infielder Jose Iglesias, who was with the Mets last year. And as Sam Levitt said last hour, in half a season, put up the same WAR as Manny Machado.
Yeah, I was thinking about how, you know, Sam from New York or grew up Mets fan, and Frank, I'm sure Frank is knows a little thing or two about Jose Iglesias, and I'm sure is happy about this deal being made as well. It is true. I mean, you really are getting a guy on a steal. As long as he produces or gets, you know, even close to what he did last year, you're getting him on a steal contract. I am very shocked that this guy did not sign for a major league contract for a decent amount for even 1 year, like a, you know, $5-6 million 1 year contract or something. But this is the life of a 35-year-old, I guess, these days in the big leagues. And someone as spring training is, you know, 3 weeks away from the regular season, you know, maybe he didn't want to wait around anymore. I do think he wanted to go back to the Mets, and you're right, the Mets did. I was looking at some stuff this morning. They said they were out on him. Madrigal, I think they signed, you know, and then in on him, and then who knows, maybe back. I don't know, but I can understand why he wanted to go back. He had a great experience with them last year, but I think he'll find that the Padres honestly have a very similar type of team in terms of what they're about and their potential for being in the playoffs and the World Series and the clubhouse demeanor. And obviously San Diego's a pretty nice place to land. So I think that this is a really good signing for the Padres. And again, it's low risk. You know, what do you lose really? A few million dollars, right, if he ends up not producing. But I think he's going to keep doing what he's been doing.
Yeah, I think the only real risk, Annie, is the opportunity cost if you trade Eggie Rosario of, well, would Rosario have potentially delivered more value because he's got power and he's younger and maybe he grows into an even fuller time role for the team. We know what we're getting with Jose Iglesias. He's 35. You know, he's on a 1 year deal. He's just got a series of 1 year deals, you know, over the course of his 30s, in the big leagues. You hope he's a great performer. And then just like Solano, he could be here today, gone tomorrow, you know, next year. So, you know, this is a short term commitment with Jose Iglesias, but having said that, boy, he takes the Solano box and he fills in every corner of it, you know?
Yeah, doesn't strike out a lot, doesn't walk a lot, but he puts bat to ball. He's a contact guy, fits right in with the Padres' offensive strategy, which is gap to gap, line drive, pass the baton, gonna run into some homers here and there, but not gonna be a superpower guy. Like you said, that's Rosario is the potential for that more. But I think in terms of this lineup and how he slots in, plus the ability to jump in at shortstop, at second base, at third base, and be a good defender at any of those positions, plus a good clubhouse guy, a good vibes guy, I think there's a lot going for him that could help this team. It's just a matter of how are you going to juggle these pieces around now. And I mean, we still don't even really know what are they going to do in terms of who's going to be at what position. Are they going to move any of the starters around? Is he going to be a bench guy? And kind of like you said, who doesn't make the team because of that?
Let me tell you something about Jose Iglesias, who has been in the big league since 2011. Against left-handed pitching, in over 1,200 career at-bats against left-handed pitching, he is a 300 lifetime hitter, 345 on base, 433 slugging for a 779 OPS. That's almost 100 points better than he's done against right-handers in his career.
Yeah.
He's hit almost half of his career home runs against lefties. 22 of his 51 have been against lefties, and that's in about a third of the at-bats. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's legit. And while Eggie Rosario was hit lefties, like, that was in, like, 20 at-bats. Yeah. This is in 1,115 at-bats.
You have a lot more proven experience at the big league level. And typically, that's where Preller is going to go, especially if he has the ability to. He's going to start with the big leaguers and the guys who have done it before. And then he's going to move to the farm system if he has to, you know? And it, again, it worked out with Jackson Merrill. They felt very high on Jackson Merrill. And I do think that they feel high on some of these other guys. I just think that when you look around at this offense, you know, we've been saying it all offseason, really. They did kind of need another bat, or we weren't sure. Did they need another bat? That sort of thing. You know, and you had all those guys coming in on those million-dollar contracts or those minor league deals. You figured one of them could be it. But maybe A.J. Preller looked around and said, I think I need a more proven bat to supplement this lineup. We just talked about the bottom of the lineup yesterday.
Bingo.
There's a lot of uncertainty there.
Bingo. That I couldn't stop thinking about.
Who was our caller yesterday?
Yeah, it was during Ask Us Anything. I forget which caller name.
But
asked, you know, like, oh, he was the guy who called in early and was like, is this going to be something?
He hung around and then he made it into a question just for you.
Maybe Dave. But
yeah, I'm not sure.
About can they overcome it? Well, I thought about that a lot as the evening went along, and I'm like, you know, there really is the chance that the Hey Joe platoon winds up hitting 208, you know?
The bottom of the lineup and the catcher position. And
Diaz, what do you get from him? Do you get anything? If you have Maldonado on the team, it's a straight guarantee he hits under 200. Mm-hmm. And Campesano, we don't even know. I mean, like, what do you know? And then you get to the DH. Okay, Tirso, unproven. Sheets, guaranteed low average. Yuli Gurriel, give me a break. Get out of here. Go to the minors. Go somewhere else. Don't be here. Like, none of these... let me just put it this way. You could squint and imagine a world where that 7-8-9 was productive enough to keep the Padres afloat, but you could also easily imagine a world where it wasn't and where it was a real problem for the team.
Yeah.
And where it put a lot of pressure on Jake Cronenworth and Xander Bogaerts to be big-time plus contributors to this team. And then you start looking at the lineup and going, uh-oh, a world where Crony and Bogaerts are slumping... Now, where's our offense? It's the top four guys, and that's it.
And isn't that the truth? Because last year, you kind of got your butt saved throughout, not because whoever wasn't hitting. You know, there was a time that Manny was working back from his injury. There was a time that Tatis was injured and not in the lineup. There was a time that everyone's in slumps. Luis had his thumb. Well, who'd you have? Kyle Higashioka, Jerkson Profar, Donovan Solano, David Peralta.
Right.
You had all these guys who are similar to this type of player in Jose Iglesias that that AJ Preller has brought on. So I think it's a good problem to have, and you know, hopefully a little bit of a proven flyer, to be honest. Like a guy that I think could really be a steal if he's able to perform close to what he did last year. You know, he was signed on a minor league contract last year too, to the Mets, and then ended up, was it three WAR or
three WAR.
So he's used to this life.
Sadly, but it is true. And like mid-30s veterans who are actually good is the new market inefficiency in baseball. Every Major League Baseball team is willing to Logan's run it and say everybody above 35 is dead. And then there's these players who are actually still good.
And all the leverage is with the teams because you have these players who are getting nervous. They're getting nervous. I'm telling you, David Peralta looks like... he's nervous, you know, and I don't know what he's asking for, but you start to think, which team is going to sign me? And so, you know, you might lower your asking price, or you might be more willing to sign somewhere you weren't thinking about previously or whatever, just because you want to get with a team. You know, Jose Quintana, I just saw, went for $4
million. Yeah, I know.
Which I guess I'm surprised at. $4 million? I thought he'd get more.
Me
six?
Too.
What did Martin Perez get?
He got $6 million.
Yeah, I thought he'd get at least six. But again, is that because you got closer to the season and the team could leverage you a little bit? I don't know. Or maybe because he's older?
Well,
Jose Quintana?
I read Craig Calcaterra's Cup of Coffee newsletter, great newsletter. But his analysis of that signing yesterday was that if you broke it down, which we haven't had to because we haven't had Quintana.
Yeah, he went to the Brewers. Yeah.
Yeah, that he pitched very mediocre last year to close to a 5 ERA until like his last 9 or 10 starts.
Okay.
And then in those starts, you could make the metrics argument that he got extremely lucky, that he had like a very low BABIP with no strikeouts. Mm. So
maybe they were a little wary of him.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That maybe if you're signing him, you're just getting the same thing as if you got Kyle Hart.
Yeah.
You know, but the Brewers, who are cheaper than the Padres, it must be repeated over and over and over. The Brewers, the team that actually does trade their stars and move away.
And they're apparently waiting for Woodruff to return from shoulder surgery and dealing with another injury, I think, to Hall. So,
They've got room for him to jump into the rotation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll be really annoyed if on some June afternoon he shuts out the Padres.
Well, but, I mean, he did it last year.
Twice. He nailed us twice last year. But
was one at Petco and one at
India. One here, one away.
Yeah.
He handled both legs perfectly. Yeah. Let's take a timeout. Love the Iglesias sign. This is my second favorite move of the offseason.
I think it's a good move. I really do.
Yeah. Pivetta number one, Iglesias number two. I think these are good moves that make this a better team going forward. When we come back, we got a grab bag for you. We'll touch on the Aztecs night last night. We haven't mentioned Roki Sasaki yet. We will get to that.
Yeah.
And a venerable part of our young adulthood for sports viewing comes to an end. In May. We'll get to those stories as we continue with Annie and Elston, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
127. Bad this morning. Andy and Elston rolling with you. We got Gwen and Chris coming up. She said, top of the hour. With Matt Scraby and Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. will be joining once the Padres game is over. Right now, it's Rockies 0, Padres 0. Bottom of the fifth inning.
Bottom of the fifth.
Yep, yep. Tom Cosgrove worked a scoreless top of the fifth.
Good.
And the mighty Rockies are continuing to hold the Padres in check. Annie, I thought you'd be interested in knowing that the Rockies are taking dead aim at a brand new TV. They are 9-3 in the Cactus League.
Well, we still have some time left.
To catch up.
To catch up or to overtake, you know. But listen, if the Rockies win the TV, is it the worst? I mean,
they were close last year.
Don't the Rockies deserve a little something?
I think they do. Specifically in spring.
Do yeah. it for Dinger.
And then never again. Dinger.
Exactly. Right. Like, let them have it, you know. If they earn it. I think they're earning it right now.
9-3. We're 3-8.
Has played well for Buddy.
Yeah. Only the exactly. I guess they exactly they play hard in meaningless games for Buddy. That's right. If only the you know spring training it ended there. They'd be real winners.
They would be real.
They might even be real winners of TVs.
All grown up.
They'd be all go to local up. Best Buy, pick up the TV they want, and MLB pays for it.
I got manager of the year like betting lines. You know.
Oh really?
That was sick.
All right, well, just,
where's that guy?
Just a very, very quickly. All right,
I still want to hear it. I'm just saying, like, where's this going to be? Where's our guy going to be?
Okay, yeah, okay. I don't know Bet's stuff
I'm going to just guess before you start. But I'm going to say he is the fifth or sixth choice. So minus is the lowest, and then you're going to go by increasingly higher pluses.
Okay, it says like this, okay? Craig Counsell is 5-1. Is that my
reading
that right?
Okay, so we're going to go that way.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well, what does that mean? Does that mean he's most likely?
It means he's. It means if you bet $10, you'd win $50.
Okay, tell me what you think when we get to. Okay, Terry Francona is 11-2, but plus 550. He's the only one that has his plus 550. I don't know. Derek Shelton, 6-1. Dave Roberts, 7-1. Bob Melvin, 8-1.
Derek Shelton of the Pirates is 6-1.
Davey Martinez, 9-1. Carlos Mendoza, 9-1. Brian Snitker, 10-1. Mike Schilt, 10. Lavello after him, 12-1. So
he's like 8th or 9th.
Bud Black is the bottom, 33-1.
Bud Black is not going to win manager of the year.
He's not going to win this one.
Probably not. However, okay. 10-1 to get Mike Schilt for manager of the year.
These are like, it's pointless. I mean, this is, you know.
The entire thing's pointless.
The whole thing is pointless. We just, yeah.
The manager of the year is usually the manager that surprises people, right?
Yeah, it's very hard to predict who's going to be.
He does a lot with not a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. They do look at it that way, it seems like. You know, the ones that have, I guess, the lower roster payroll, maybe, and getting the most out of them. Mm. Scrappy little team.
Yeah, that's why the Brewers got one executive of the year.
Yes. Right. And Pat Murphy won manager of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Even though the Padres are in a very similar situation, some of the writers get mad because they signed Manny. So Mike Schilt finished second in that one.
You know, Terry Francona might be one that, like, depending on what kind of year they have, because, you know, Cincinnati. They love him.
Yeah.
Derek Shelton, it's kind of a reach.
You got Paul Skeens, bro. Relax.
Yeah.
It's not impossible that the Pirates are decent this year because you do have Jared Jones. You do have Paul Skeens. You know, you've got some young pitching.
Yeah.
Does their center fielder take a big step up? Does something happen along the way? Remember, last year, the Pirates were above 500 going into July.
Yeah.
And then they died because the Padres beat them 6 times in 8 days.
The Pirates could have been like what the Tigers ended up being if they would have done better the second half. You know, like, because the Tigers kind of were left for dead too, but
right.
Then they were able to put it together, you know, and the Pirates could just kind of right there, but then didn't have enough to sustain the season.
Didn't have enough. I'll say this when you talk about Tito Francona, that that's one team in the National League that none of us are talking
about.
That has potential.
I know. You've got Ellie De La Cruz. You've got some young guys on there. You've got
a lot of young guys.
A lot of young guys. You got hungry guys. That's a good manager there. I mean, at least as far as we know, he's still got it, you know.
Hunter Green takes another step forward.
Yeah.
Nikki Tight Pants is in there.
If they don't.
Nick Lodolo.
Yes. And I think, like, if it's the Padres, I think have the better team, but like, and the Reds, I think would have to make sure that they don't get in their own way in terms of like sometimes young players and all that. You know, we saw it last year, a lot of base running mistakes, sometimes a lot of defensive mistakes, things like that. But I agree. I think that they're, you know, they're one to watch.
The way the Padres want to see this season play out, very simply, they want it to play out chalk. Because if it plays out chalk, they're one of the best 6 teams.
Yeah.
So they want to see. Of course, they want to see themselves win the division. But in the truth serum world, Dodgers win.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Pick your one out of the East, right? Mm-hmm. Just say Atlanta wins, so the Mets are a wild card. Mm-hmm. The Phillies are a wild card.
Yeah.
We know that these 2 teams are coming. And then you want to beat Arizona and get into the wild card.
Yeah.
You know, and you want your competition to be Arizona, Philly, the Mets, and whoever is second place in the Central, but you want that team to be distant and far behind. If the Reds throw themselves into that conversation, or the Brewers are better than expected, or the Pirates are better than expected, it makes the path to the playoffs a lot more difficult for San Diego.
And at least, like, in meaningless projections, at this point, if I was to take the Pirates, the Brewers, and the Reds, even though the Brewers, in that division, they usually end up in the playoffs, et cetera, and they do tend to still have the ability to have a good team, even though they lose a lot of guys. I would put my money on the Reds. I would say the Reds are kind of your sleeper team right now.
I agree with you. Couple other things we haven't gotten to today as we get ready for Ask Us Anything. Did you watch any of the Roky Sasaki highlights?
Okay, I did. And here's my thing on Roky Sasaki. I understand how people might be like rooting for his demise, but I'm here to tell you, and just tune me out for the next 2 minutes if you don't want to hear this, okay? Okay, first of all, I mean, he looked very good yesterday. He could suck this year, and they have him for 6 years.
Right.
If he has a developmental year this year and the growth just, you know, he needs a little bit more growth, he's still got 5 more years where he can make up for a contract that even if the guy sucks his entire career, if Roky Sasaki sucks his entire career with the Dodgers, what does it matter? They paid league minimum for him with like a $5 million signing bonus. Like, it's a literal lottery ticket. You don't even need him in the Dodgers rotation this year. He's just extra. You know, like, you can use him because it's fun and you can like space out your rotation a little bit more.
Yeah,
so
cool.
I understand it's frustrating. I understand like it's fun to like wait and go, or maybe fun for some people to wait and go, well, this guy's going to, you know, wait till he sucks. It probably doesn't really matter, you know? And the Chargers. The Padres can't do anything about it. The Padres just have to focus on themselves.
Chargers can't do anything about
Chargers
it.
Chargers can't either. Right. No.
Right.
They definitely can't.
Neither can the Ducks.
The Chargers can, like, put up a social media post. Like,
they could.
Congratulations,
they
Roky. Could. Welcome to town.
They probably will.
They
probably
try so hard.
JJ Hoffman says, but I'll feel better if he sucks. Okay, that's fine. I will give you that.
I'll feel better.
JJ Hoffman, I'll give you that.
It's a good call. Yeah.
Gang.
I won't fight you on it.
No.
Gang, he's not going to suck.
No, probably not.
Even if he has to develop a little, even if it kind of kicks his butt a little bit this year,
he's
like
going
to
be dominant.
Or
I mean, anybody remember Ohtani's first start?
His splitter looked like Nomo's splitter. His splitter looked like
good.
Clemens' splitter. And his fastball sits 98. I'm going to tell you what I saw last night. I saw a pitcher that is going to dominate this league until he snaps his elbow, which I believe will be this year.
Yeah.
because I saw one, I'm sorry, but I saw Mark Pryor. I saw Steven Strasburg, okay? And there was a freeze frame on MLB or somewhere of Sasaki mid-windup, and he had that exact inverted W mechanics that turned Strasburg and Pryor into ground meat in a couple of years. I feel the injury for Sasaki, and that is not to be disparaging. I would say the same thing. I swear to you, I would say the same thing if he was in brown and gold.
Well, and that's something that really the Dodgers are going to kind of have the spotlight on them about, because we saw stories coming out last year that maybe they aren't developing. They had so many pitchers with injuries or elbow injuries or shoulder injuries or whatever. You know, is there an issue? I don't know if there is or not, but the stories were coming out last year about that. So I think there will be a spotlight on, like, how far do you push him? How do you and what if you do have to kind of change his mechanics a little? How does that affect him, you know, to prevent injury, et cetera, et cetera? This is where you have to be careful with his growth and development. You probably should be careful, because he hasn't felt the intensity of what stateside pitching is going to be like and the amount of innings, you know?
Ohtani's first month, he had a 4.43 ERA in four starts.
Yeah.
Yamamoto. Tatted around for a long time.
And Yamamoto was signed to a huge contract, you know? Yeah, so...
Matt.
JJ says, I hope he has bad hair. And Matt says, I bet he pours his milk before the cereal.
Yeah, probably.
You never know.
Probably.
Teach their own, but yeah.
He's going to be great. 1 minute on Around the Horn, wrapping up ESPN staple for 20 years.
Their last show's in May. Really the first of the kind of talking heads debate show, I think actually an intelligent debate show, you know, not one where they were just trying to make a point for like clicks or whatever. But they have kind of lost their superstars over the years.
It just hasn't been the same.
Yeah. I used to watch that show all the time. I don't remember the last time I watched. I really don't.
Really?
I haven't watched that since I was probably in high school.
I watch it whenever I can, like maybe like once or twice a month.
They used to have like that happy hour time. It was that show and then PTI.
Right.
And back to back was always great, but then it just
they started
diving into topics that were not interesting to me as a sports fan.
I just think shows like this have been defeated by social media,
right?
I truly do, because it used to be that we didn't have an opportunity to know what Tim Kalishar, or Bob Ryan, or Bill Plaschke were thinking about the topics of the day. But then everyone just got a Twitter account and just put all their information, you know, all of their takes out there, and now it's a take economy. Mm-hmm. So for people doing takes on TV, a lot of those takes you've already encountered in your social media day before 2 p.m. And then you don't really, then you're watching, you're like, I've already kind of dealt with all this stuff.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, clearly it must be like, and also it's on at a weird time. It's sandwiched in between weird show. You know, it's like that, not necessarily a prime time that they put it on, but clearly, you know, ratings must not be good, I guess, or whatever, you know, maybe they just don't want to keep paying for it. But it's also like too rational. I feel like it's like, you know, people want the hottest take, the fiery take.
It's just, you know, it's a product of a different era.
Yeah.
And in that era, it reigned supreme.
Yeah.
And now we're in a different era and it goes. But shout out to everybody who's been a part of it.
Yeah.
And to Tony Reale for all the points he has given out and deducted over the years. I'm sure somebody has
Woody Page's whiteboard, blackboard.
I know. They were all like putting up, like all the normal guests were yesterday, like kind of like, you know, reminiscing and talking about all that, and it is kind of sad to see that. But they're on through May, so hey.
We're on.
Till then.
We're on till 2. I mean, we'll be back tomorrow, but we're on till 2. So we got to take one last time out, and then we're coming back with our last segment. It's time to Ask Us Anything, gang. Phone lines open now, 833-288-0973. Give us a call, 833-288-0973. If you call us in the next 10 minutes, we will get you on the air. All we need is for you to come with a question ready to ask the program. That's why it's called Ask Us Anything. We do it next. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Hey, it's Craig Elston from Annie and Elston. Just wanted to take a second to say thank you for downloading and listening to Annie and Elston. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening to us. Also, favorite us on the Odyssey app. Also, we're live weekdays on YouTube, and of course, you can always listen live weekdays 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.